Ron Majors in town. By golly, it's good to see you.
Nice to see you, Charles.
How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, and your lovely wife, Elise, is with you?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Haven't seen you since, I think, before you left, and you're in Chicago now.
In Chicago, working for... we're in Chicago working for NBC. As you know, I'm not sure how many of your listeners know, each of the television networks owns five stations in local markets around the country. I work for the station in Chicago that is owned by NBC. I do an hour of news at 4:30 and a half hour at 10, and, you know, pretty much like what I was doing here, except we got a lot more crime to report, that's all.
Yeah, that's a big city.
It really is, and a crazy city. Politics is a spectator sport in Chicago. Everybody loves it. Every cab driver will give you his or her opinion. People watch it closely, and it's just Looney Tunes.
We even got involved in it. You know, because at least our interest, because of the Byrne thing.
Yep.
You know, and of course, the Washington race was...
It was fascinating.
It was.
It really was fascinating to watch a city that size try to deal... You have to remember, because Chicago has been run by the machine for so many years, the politicians personally haven't dealt with a lot of the social issues that many other major cities have already dealt with. For a long time, the base of the machine has always been an ethnic vote, whether it was a Polish vote, an Irish vote, in recent years a black vote. And the machine could always deliver the black vote as a block, or pretty much as a block. Well, for the first time, you had a viable black candidate in the community, and the black vote went with the black candidate. So the question became, where did the Democratic regular white vote go? And as it turned out, I hope, to the credit of Chicago, Harold Washington, the black candidate, managed to get between 18% and 20% of the white vote, even after a very bitter and divisive campaign. So I think that bodes well for the future of Chicago.
The candidate who opposed Washington, I'm trying to think of his name.
Bernard Epton.
How soon we forget.
Oh, boy. Not in Chicago.
Not in
because
Chicago.
He has taken after the press since he lost.
He's going to buy the newspaper or something?
Well, he was on vacation in West Palm Beach when he announced that he was considering buying the Sun-Times. It was just announced that the Chicago Sun-Times newspaper would be for sale. He quickly announced he would put together a partnership and try to buy it so that he could fire two columnists, Mike Royko and Roger Simon. He referred to Mike Royko as having a vicious tongue. He referred to Roger Simon as being slime. We called him the other day to get him to do a live interview with us in the 4:30 news, and he gave us a list of reporters he would and would not speak with. I was one of the would-nots.
Really?
Yes, and I couldn't understand why. I'd interviewed the man several times. Absolutely no question in my mind. I'd always treated him fairly, but somehow, in the quiet of his vacation, he'd gone through his own mind and made up a list of people who were fair and unfair. We finally talked him out of that. He did agree to do the interview, and I was part of it, but it's been a strange experience. The night he lost, he didn't come down and thank his supporters. He came down early in the evening at his election headquarters and said, the race is too close to call. Well, about an hour went by, and we, who were following the results closely, could see it was no longer too close to call. He couldn't win. He left the hotel without ever coming back and saying another word to the hundreds of people who had gathered to support him. So in today's paper in Chicago, I think in the Tribune, not in the Sun-Times, I don't think, he's running a full-page ad that says, thanks to my supporters, my differences with the media are personal, and, you know, forget them. If you're one of my supporters, they don't involve you.
Ron Major is with us on CCO, and Ron is in town for the Johnson Institute, who is presenting an Alcohol Awareness Hour, a public educational series dealing with the realities of alcohol and drug use and misuse and so on. We had Del Sharbin on not too long ago.
Yes, in fact, that's why I quit drinking. They told me if I quit drinking, my voice would get like Del's.
Wilbur Mills was on with us, and Don Newcomb's been here before, and he's coming, I understand, in May. And you're here for an appearance tomorrow at the...
Tomorrow, 10 to noon at Minneapolis Community College. That's at 15th and Hennepin, and it's free. And if you just drive down there, there will be signs will point you the way to the gymnasium where we'll be talking. It's called an Alcohol Awareness Hour. It's actually 2 hours, I think, 10 to noon. Really just to talk about alcohol, alcoholism, chemical dependency, the stigma attached to it. And maybe by talking about it a little bit, everybody learns something and we remove some of that stigma.
Very good. Say, I want to hear that bungee story in a second.
Oh, you'll never hear
that.
Can you tell it? Not on the air. Absolutely not.
Not on the air?
But I'll tell you what I can do. What? I can just say, I've already told Raj the story. So I can just say bungee or death, and somewhere in this building, he's laughing right now.
And so is Soufrée, because she must have heard the story. Say, hang on a second. I want to ask you some more about Chicago, too. 59 degrees now in our Twin Cities at 18 minutes past 10 o'clock. I got out of the garage last night, walked out of the garage and looked up, and the light's still out. I have a light over the garage. It's been out for 6 months because I haven't taken the initiative and gone over to Creative Lighting and picked out a light that would be good. And they got millions of lights over there, of one of which I could choose, but I just haven't gotten around to it. And that's so true of so many people I'm sure are listening right now. Say, I got to do that. Got to get over to Creative Lighting. Got to pick out those lights for the hallway or the over the kitchen or in the bathroom. Well, if you're looking for tracks, I'll tell you this. They're having their spring track lighting sale right now. You can save up to 50% on every track in the store, and that's a lot of tracks. And the first you'll save on the track itself. These are actually elongated sockets that work as part of your built-in wiring system. They come in virtually any length and in so many finishes. You'll find them a lovely accent to your decor. Of course, they have the contemporary styles. And they have some interesting nostalgic shapes like glass tulips, brass locomotive lanterns. And Creative Lighting guarantees top quality because their tracks are made by the two track experts, Halo and Light O'Lear. So if you're looking for lightings, see Creative Lighting. This sale, by the way, is on through tomorrow, so you better get with it. I got to get in there tomorrow. I'm going to do it. Right after tennis, I'm going to do it. Overlooking Interstate 94, just west of Snelling on the South Frontage Road. They're open Monday and Thursday till 9. Other weekdays like tonight till 6 and Saturdays till 5.
Are you more a glass tulip guy or a brass lantern guy?
Well, gee, I don't know. It depends upon the design. I don't think I'm either one.
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle, yeah. Maybe a little more contemporary. I don't know. Although I like the we've got some chandeliers, and I was surprised to find we went to the vice president's house. We did a broadcast when Mondale was vice president in that beautiful new mansion. The lighting fixtures are exactly the same as the ones I have picked from Creative. So
he paid full retail, and you got a discount.
Well, maybe. I hope I did. Ron Major's with us on CCO, 20 minutes past 10 o'clock, 59 degrees, a lovely day. I saw a note in the paper yesterday about former Mayor Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
And she apparently has done something I don't think any mayor has done, at least not in Chicago, and I don't think it's done around here. She put her name on everything.
Oh, that's always been done in Chicago.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, there's a great tradition of that. Mayor Daley, I think even before Mayor Daley they did it, but during the Mayor Daley years, it was practiced to a fine art. Everyone notices when they're in Chicago, when you first leave O'Hare Airport, or Midway now, there's a sign that says, Welcome to Chicago. It still says Jane M. Byrne, Mayor. What you don't realize is that every city car, every city truck, I've always been fascinated, even the garbage trucks.
Right.
Right on the side of the garbage trucks is Mayor Jane M. Byrne. Harold Washington did not address that during the campaign, nor did Bernard Epton. I always thought that would make an interesting campaign issue. Someone sit down and figure out how much time it takes, how much money it costs to paint all that.
Well, it's $14 a car.
Yeah, and add that up and say, I'm not going to do that. I would vote for someone just on that basis alone, I think.
Now it's going to take $2 to take them off on all those...
Probably more than that.
Yeah, probably.
But you know, the interesting thing about Chicago is that's not even an issue. I mean, people don't even notice that. You know, if someone did that in Minneapolis, why, they'd be impeached, wasting our money to do something like that. Chicago, nobody even notices.
Really?
You know, it's just, they've always done it that way.
Now, they were so up in arms about a black mayor, yet many cities in our country have black mayors.
Indeed. And cities that are doing well have black mayors.
Los
and you
Angeles,
have to remember,
Detroit, Atlanta.
In the major urban centers in America, where you have populations that are 40% to 60% black, why not? The surprising thing is that it hasn't happened in a lot of major cities before this. I think what we're really seeing in Chicago is the peaceful, natural extension of those tumultuous civil rights years of the late 60s and early 70s. And there was a huge voter registration drive, and people exercised their right.
More with Ron Majors in just a couple minutes. We're delighted to have Ron Majors here from Chicago. Ron, of course, a local media hero for many years. And in fact, the listener just called and said, hey, Ron, would you ever come back to the Twin Cities?
Sure.
Would you?
Mm-hmm. This is a great place to live. Chicago is a wonderful news town, and I really do enjoy living in Chicago. But if you were to separate everything else out and say, and I've lived in Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Eugene, Oregon, and some really nice, livable cities.
Very nice.
And Minneapolis and Chicago. And for living conditions and that old trite phrase, the quality of life, it's not a cliche. It's a fact. Minneapolis is a wonderful place to live.
I think the people make a big difference here.
They really do. My wife and I were just talking about it the other night, that we've only been in Chicago about a year and a half now, and we do have friends, and I'm sure we'll have more, and the relationships will become stronger, but I just think that no matter where I go or what I ever do, some of my best friends will always be in Minneapolis, and every time I come back here, I realize how comfortable I am, and how, you know, there's that strange myth about the Scandinavians being these closed, uptight people. The people in Minneapolis, St. Paul, all of Minnesota, I think, are some of the most open, warm, genuine, honest people I've never known anywhere.
You mentioned comfortable. That's the word that comes to my mind of all the cities I've lived in and some big ones. Comfortable is
absolutely
the best word because you never get hassled. You don't have to travel too far to get to work. Just everything is very comfortable.
Yeah, I realized it when, in Chicago, people will give you these sorts of little tips, you know. Never try to fight over a parking space. Somebody will shoot you. and they're only half joking. I mean, what they're saying is, don't yell at anybody because you don't know who you're yelling at, and they might shoot you.
Yeah, there's that possibility.
Yeah, and those things, there are just a lot of places in the city, including some of the nicest places in the city of Chicago, where I'm a little uncomfortable. After dusk.
You have to conduct yourself a little differently.
Yeah, you really do. You have to learn to watch where you're walking.
You lock your car.
In fact, I was doing a story at a neighborhood in Chicago where I looked over and saw a car parked along the street, and they had a heavy chain. I'm not talking about a bicycle chain. I'm talking about a heavy chain, like, what do they call them, an anchor hawser on a ship, that a guy had run over his front axle and around a telephone pole, and it was triple padlocked in a loop. And I'd only been in the city a few months at the time, and I turned to the camera crew I was with, and I said, look at that. We got to take a picture of that. They laughed, said, that'll just slow them down a minute.
But we laugh about it, but it's serious. And Chicago is not the exception.
Many of our
big urban centers are...
You know what I love to say in Chicago? I love to tell people, do you know in Minneapolis and St. Paul, they got some parking lots where you park your car and then you walk over to a little box and you fill out an envelope and put a dollar in it and put the dollar in the box? They said, come on.
They don't believe it.
They don't do that. How long do those boxes last? I said, they last. So what's even more amazing is people stop and fill out the envelope.
This is a good place. Ron Major's with us on CCO. More in a minute, 23 minutes before the hour of 11. And kind of cloudy, still cloudy, but the sun should peak through. 59 degrees now in our Twin Cities. I don't know what it is in Chicago. We'll have to find out.
I think it was about the same. Our weather was about like yours the last couple of days. You got the blizzard that missed us last week.
Yeah, we sure did.
We had a real mild winter in Chicago.
Ron Major's with us in the Twin Cities for a special appearance at the Press Club today and tomorrow at Minneapolis Community College, 15th and Hennepin, a program sponsored by the Johnson Institute. And this is an alcohol awareness hour. And Ron follows Wilbur Mills and other famous people. Del Sharbert and so on, and Don Newcomb's coming in the 14th of May. And that's the date of a big Scandinavian celebration here in town.
Is it?
Having it all year long, Scandinavian forever, some people call it.
Yeah.
It's been going on since September, and they brought royalty and art exhibits and musical events and groups, and they're winding up on the 14th. You took a trip down the river, not up the river, down the river.
Down the river,
in a beautiful cruise boat. With your family and kind of got away from it all.
Yeah, a couple summers ago.
I envied you because that's been a dream of, I'm sure, a lot of people.
Oh, it was wonderful. We spent a little over 6 weeks on the river, went from Minneapolis to St. Louis and back, used the boat. We lived on the boat and stopped in all the little towns we possibly could along the way. And I think more than anything discovered the middle of America is still alive and well. I can't tell you how many times we'd be in a marina, we'd need to go do our laundry, or we'd want to know if there was a restaurant or something, and people we'd met 10 minutes before are tossing you their car keys, saying, here, go ahead, take off. Yeah, here's where the laundromat is. Here's a great place to eat. Take our car, bring it back
but
tomorrow,
they got your
or
boat.
Leave it here. No, these would be people who, other people who had just stopped in the marina, or townspeople. And it was just wonderful. It was wonderful. I'm ready to go again tomorrow.
Do you have the same kind of thing in Chicago as you had here, where you're a media person, you're recognizable? There's very little privacy for a person like yourself.
It's been interesting to go through that transition again, because obviously when I got to first got to Chicago, I wasn't very well known, and it was a real joy to walk the streets and not be recognized. But Chicago is a bit like Minneapolis in that people don't overdo it. You'll occasionally get yelled at on the street or someone makes a little scene. Minneapolis, more than anywhere else I ever lived, you know, very rarely did anyone, hey, yaha, ya. They would kind of quietly walk up and say, excuse me, Ron Majors, yes, I just wanted to say I watch you on the news and enjoy it. I'd say thank you very much, and just real nice and quiet about it. I'm not sure how or why that happened here. But it happened at a more comfortable level in Minneapolis than anywhere else. It has its upsides, you know. It does. You get maybe a better table in a restaurant, or a little better service in a store if somebody recognizes you. But I'm sure you know, traveling to Europe as much as you do, and the other places you go, it is fun to get away from it. But I'm not uncomfortable with it.
Fortunately, on radio, we have a certain anonymity that you don't enjoy on television.
Yeah, you and Erickson are about as anonymous as Kleenex. That's, you're a trade name.
No, nobody knows what we look like. That's the good part. I want to ask you what you're going to talk about tomorrow. Can I do that in a minute?
Sure.
Okay. I think people realize how much they miss you when they hear you on the air, and it's the same goes for me. It's so good to see you back.
Oh, it's good to see you. Thank you.
Yeah. With a friend of yours, Mike Andrews, yesterday at the ball game.
At the ball yard.
And we were talking about you and what you're doing and if you ever come back and so on. And you're back here to talk tomorrow. What are you going to talk about at the Alcohol Awareness Hour?
Well, it's the purpose of the program, it started in California, is just to raise the general knowledge of the community about alcoholism and chemical dependency. And if anybody has any questions about it at all, we're going to take ample time tomorrow to answer questions generally. In addition to some talking I'll be doing about myself and my experiences in the media and how the media handles alcoholism, chemical dependency. So it's a good opportunity for people who might otherwise be, you know, scared to go ask somebody about it, to sit in a crowd with several hundred other people and just listen and pick up some general knowledge. You know, maybe somebody in your family you think has got a problem, somebody you work with, I don't, maybe even you. Maybe you want to come and just sit and be quiet and listen and be sort of anonymous, and this is the place to do it. If you have any interest in the area at all, this is a real good time, without exposing yourself or committing to anything, to come and just sit and listen and see what goes on.
Well, it's a different attitude today than maybe a few years ago.
Oh, much different. Yeah, really a much different attitude. There's still some stigma attached in our society to alcoholism and being an alcoholic. But I'll tell you, when I went through treatment for alcoholism here in Minneapolis, Neil Gendler of the newspaper came out and interviewed me, found out where I was, and I made the choice, yeah, I'll talk about it with one reporter for now, and then I'm done. I'm not going to do any more interviews about it until I'm comfortable with it. And they did a story in the paper about where I was and what I was going through. When I came back to work at KSTP, I had a lot of concern about, gee, am I going to be rejected? You know, am I going to look like a leper or something, was really my worst fear. Hundreds, really hundreds of letters waiting for me when I got back. Not one negative comment. Now, that's been 3.5 years ago, and I've never heard a negative comment about my decision to go into treatment and take a look at a problem I had and do something about it. And the most common reaction I get is when you're up front and talk about it, almost universally. When you talk about it with someone on a one-to-one basis, within a few minutes they're saying, gee, you know, my uncle's kind of, or my brother I wonder about, or my husband, or my wife, or my son, or my daughter, or my boss, or somebody who works for me. It's just all around us. And if we can remove that stigma and just all of us start talking about it, I think we'd all be a lot better off.
You'll enjoy meeting Ron, and that's tomorrow at the Minneapolis Community College, 15th and Hennepin, co-sponsored by the Johnson Institute Continuing Education Department.
Free.
It's free. What time is it?
10 in the morning. 10 to noon.
10 till noon. Oh, terrific.
At the gymnasium there, and there'll be signs.
Oh, very
good. To point the way for you.
Yeah, got a call for you, and we'll take that right after the markets, which is coming up next in 1 minute, actually. Chuck Lilligren is going to be with us with the eggs, and then Joyce. You saw Chuck Lilligren sitting in there, Ron, and
he has a beard now.
Yes, very
distinct. Does he still do that thing where he picks on Sydney on Sunday mornings?
No, Chuck doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
Dave Mona sits in and goes back and forth to Sydney now on Sunday mornings.
I think Sid might be too tough for Dave.
Yeah? Well, that's a pretty much of a draw.
Is it?
But Chuck produced some pretty
Lilligren used to get, I think, two falls out of three.
Dave acts like Sidney's son.
See, he's trying to start it. Yeah, see he what does, he does?
Yeah, he just does.
He agrees with him.
Yeah, well, sure, they're both newspaper men, you know. Sidney tells Dave what to ask him, and they go through the thing on Sunday.
Oh, is Sidney going to get you?
Sidney was just by here a moment ago and asked you about sports in Chicago in a moment. Chuck Lilligren, we'll have you on right after Joyce tells us about those rolled-up shutters. Charlie Boone here, chatting with Ron Majors, welcoming him back for a brief stay in the Twin Cities, now anchoring news in Chicago. And someone who was visiting out in California said, don't you have a relative out there in San Diego or somewhere doing news?
Yes, we apparently had a call from some Minnesotans who go to Southern California in the winter. My youngest brother is anchoring news for the ABC station in San Diego, does the 11 o'clock news for them. He's 10 years younger than I am, so he's... I'm surprised he got a work permit at 16.
Sid came by and said hello and was delighted to see you here. And
Sidney is, I love the kid Sidney, but I'll tell you, as I've been around the country, there is one thing you can say that is an absolute fact about Sidney Hartman that no one will ever argue with, the hardest working sports guy in America.
No
period.
Doubt about it. Oh, yeah.
In fact, Sports Illustrated would love to have his little black book of home phone numbers.
You can believe it. You're a great sports fan.
Oh, I love it, yeah.
And we're watching our young, exciting Twins. They were playing 500 ball until yesterday. How's Chicago doing?
Well, 6 games into the National League season, the Chicago Cubs were 6 games out. So the Northsiders are doing their usual act up at Wrigley Field. Southside is going to be pretty interesting, the Chicago White Sox. I think they'll end up with a pretty good ball club. I don't think they can win the division, but they'll be fun to watch. And the White Sox owners are real promotion-minded. They do a lot of special promotions, and they really work hard to get people into the stands, and they spend a lot of money on that ball club.
They don't have any dome in Chicago, do they?
No, and I have not attended a game at the dome here, and I'm not sure I'd want to, because I was one of those crazies who really loved the Met, especially for baseball.
Well, I think the purists love outdoor baseball. It's nice when it's raining outside to be able to come into town from out of town, and if you have plans, not to see them wiped out by,
sure.
by a storm.
And I think it's good for the city's economy. Overall, I hope it would be good for the Twins. I know the place has already got a funny reputation for baseball because the ball carries so well on short fences.
Well, that's what they say, but I really the Twins is a hitting club, and they hit down in spring training, they've hit in other ballparks, but it's a big television studio, and it's more of an antiseptic kind of impression than you get outdoors with the breeze and the planes flying overhead.
Yeah. I think I would love it this time of year. You know,
I'm not sure
about those July afternoons.
Yeah, they're going to air condition it this summer.
But the Gophers are playing Saturday night games there now?
They are?
That ought to be a good show.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Football has been very successful in the Dome. Well, you'll have to come back.
Oh, I'll come back anytime.
Yeah, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Ron Majors and his wife Elise here in the Twin Cities. And Ron will be at the press club this noon and then with the Alcohol Awareness Hour tomorrow from 10 until noon at the Minneapolis Community College at 15th and Hennepin. You want to go over and say hello to Ron, I'm sure he'd be happy to see you.
Indeed.
Good.
Thank you, Charlie.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.